Tonight, I really have the distinct honor and pleasure of introducing an anointed prophet amongst us tonight. When I first saw her several years ago, the Lord highlighted not just her gift and her anointing, but her character. Many of us get caught up in gifts and anointings, but I watch people. And the Lord has had to make me and remake me, fire me and refire me, and bench me at times when I needed to be benched. And if you've never had that, hold up, because your time is coming and it's good. Because the Lord does a good work in those that He calls. And I have watched this lady and her beautiful husband, Chad, over the years, and I've had the privilege of being in their home and converse with them many times over the phone. Aprilia Osborne has been in ministry from a very young age. She was raised in the ministry of Dr. Norval Hayes, where she both attended and later taught at his New Life Bible School. Traveling around the world with Dr. Hayes afforded her the opportunity to be taught and mentored by not only Brother Norval, but by many other great generals of the faith as well. Aprilia preaches the word with power, and the Holy Spirit flows through her with strong gift of prophecy. Her only desire is to spread the name of Jesus across the globe and to teach others how to experience the glory of God in their lives, to empower them to share the gospel with others. Make His Name Famous Ministries is hallmarked by prophetic street evangelism, deep worship, and revival atmosphere services. I've also ministered with her, Robert and I, in Florida, and watched as she moved in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we also had her to minister here last year. Who remembers that? Amen. Some of you, and there are many new people. But before we release her to minister, I do want to share that she has a book that she wrote, and many of you saw it on my Facebook page, and I don't promote too many on my Facebook page, but this is one that I did. Seeing Behind Enemy Lines. You will want to get this book. I have it, and I've read it and gulped it, and I've had to read it sections at a time because it is so full of the revelation of God. It is so full of the revelation of spiritual warfare and what is really going on. That is beyond the physical realm. That is really in the spirit realm. And so I want to encourage you to get this not only for yourself, but even for those that you know who are struggling. And before we release Aprilia, we want to bless Aprilia. And we've blessed Chad with one already. Hallelujah. And so tonight, this was made by a leader, one of the leaders of our state, and it has, of course, the ivory on the bottom and the beautiful beautiful blues and silver and white. And the Lord says that this is full of revelation. This is full of the heavenly revelation that He's brought you and He's going to continue to bring you into. The silver, the deliverance, and the purity. And of course, the ivory. You're able to go up and down, even as Jacob did, into the heavenly realm, into the earth realm of what the Lord is showing you and will continue to.
Hallelujah. Aprilia, God has seen to it that your roots go deep. He has given you not only a mentor in your mother, but He's given you a godly mentor in Norval Hayes, who has mentored many giants in the kingdom. And the Lord says that because of the humility He has found in your heart, that there is a special place made for you by Him. And that as you seek Him and deepen your walk in Him, you will find salvation flowing from you in the name of Jesus Christ. And many will turn to the kingdom because of the message He's planted in your heart. For the Lord says that He has sown into you seeds of righteousness and holiness that will impact a generation. And the Lord says that this harvest of righteousness will bring forth many leaders who will also do as you, as your mom, as Norval Hayes has done, and many other giants before them. They will become giants in their own generation, says the Lord.
Aprilia, when we were worshiping, I just began to see a vision. And what it was is I saw these curtains that were hung up high. And as I looked down, I saw that you were standing there in the midst of all these curtains. And it's like, what do you want, Lord? Where do you want me to go? And He says, go through this one. Go through that one. Turn here. Go there. And with each step, you were faithful, and you didn't ask the question why. You didn't ask why. And you stepped through these different doors and these different places, and it came into openings that were narrow, that were shallow. And then finally, you stepped through this one curtain, and it opened up to a wide space. And as I was looking at the vision, I saw that you were on a stage with many, many people in front of you. And I heard the Lord say out of His word, and then Elijah the Tishmite. And what I heard in that is that all of a sudden, Elijah came upon the national stage. And nobody even knew where he came from, but he came onto that stage. And the Lord is saying that because you said yes, and you've allowed Him to lead you here and lead you there and lead you into many places, even those places that have been small and confined, He's bringing you to a wide space. And yes, He will open you up onto a national scene. And even much like Elijah, He has a word to express through you. And some words that you will deliver are going to be very serious and to the point. Some of it, God's righteous proclamations. But He says, as you proclaim it, He's going to continue to open up these doors and open up national stages, because His people need to hear His righteous proclamations. And He's called you to do that. And so He will open up that door for you.
So with that, we protocol you into the land of Alaska, and we welcome you to release everything that the Spirit of the Lord has that we have need of at this time to propel us forward as a state. And as Kingdom Alliance stands here in front of you, we just say welcome and let it flow. Don't hold back. So we just want to put this upon you now and welcome you onto our land.
Not a lot of places that you go that the Holy Spirit is so welcome and so loved and so valued. And I honor this place. I honor all of you guys coming out when it's pretty outside, which I know is not that often here. So I'm so glad that you guys are here. I appreciate you guys. I knew that the crowd would be lower. The Holy Spirit told me before I came that it was going to be few because the word that he's put on my heart is very for a specific group, and I actually prefer it. But just for another moment, I just have to honor the Lord just another moment here. And if you don't know what to do, sometimes when it comes of a place of worship, or if it comes of a place, we have to just set our gaze upon Jesus. There's been such a beautiful, the presence of the Lord has been honored here in this place. But there's just a moment where you separate what someone else is doing and you do something yourself, and you make a move inside of your heart that begins to shift you, and your focus and your gaze begins to look at him. And he has waited for your gaze to capture his eyes. Sometimes there's people that are not very imaginary. You know, like when you're a kid, you imagine things. And if you don't know what to do in a moment of worship, in this time right now, just begin to picture the way that you would picture Jesus to you. Just close your eyes for just a second. Let's just look upon his eyes. He has been so faithful. The other day in my prayer closet, the Lord came to me and he said, "Count the ways that I have been faithful to you. Go back and remember the times that I've come in and I've rescued you. Just linger for a moment, because I don't know about you, but I love to look upon his face. He is worthy of all of our attention in our gates. I have encountered him as healer and as deliverer, as provider. And I've encountered him as father and rescuer and comforter. I don't know who or what you need right now, but he is right there present. We look upon you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. I set my gaze upon you. I set my gaze upon you.
We look to you, Jesus. We look to you, Jesus. Set our gaze on you, Jesus. Thank you. look on your beautiful face, we look to you. We look to you. We set our gaze on you. Can't take our eyes off of you. Can't take our eyes off of you, Jesus. Lover of my soul. Lover of my soul. Look to you, Jesus. You are everything we need. You are everything we need. You're everything. Nothing else we need, nothing else we want, just you, Jesus. We just want you, Jesus.
Lover of a king. She never picked up a sword. She never wore her army gear. She fell in love with the king, and she saved an entire generation because she became a lover of the king. It wasn't a war cry that saved a generation. It was the one that found the eyes of her Savior and said, I need you to rescue me and rescue my people. There's times in our life that we pick up our weapons and we war and we march and we shout and we declare, and I'm one of those people that do that. But there's also a time where we begin to whisper, Jesus. Because he wants us to be the lover. He wants us to be so close that it's a whisper. My daughter wrote a song. It's not always a war cry. Sometimes it's just a whisper. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes. Jesus. Stay there for just a second. Is that an airplane? You know what? It's been the most amazing thing about airplanes. I lived in a place where there was a small private airplane place, and I was just like, wow, this is such an amazing prophetic thing, which I loved it. And then I moved, and I didn't know the house that we were moving in was by another airport, but they were bigger planes, which I love it. It doesn't bother me at all to hear the planes go over. And the other day I was out by the pool in this big, like, monster airplane. You know, it was right over where I was at. I spent a lot of time outside on the porch, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, that's a bigger plane than the ones before. And I said, yeah. He said, yeah, I brought you to a bigger runway, larger planes. So it's just tender to my heart right now, because he just told me that. It was pretty interesting. But there's something that's happening in the world right now on a different perspective. There's something that's about to happen in Alaska. And there's something that God is wanting to do, and he wants us to be in a place of not ignorance. Jesus said to the disciples, I would not want you to be ignorant. And a lot of times we find ourselves in this situation that we don't realize, like, how did I get myself into this place? Has anybody else done that, or is that just me? Yeah, I do that. I've done that. I'm like, Lord, how did I get here? And he was said, you just, you know, went off course a little this way or a little that way. Have you ever picked out paint, white paint, before at, like, Home Depot? You go in the paint section, they have 1,000 different colors of white. So one time I was standing there, and the Lord said to me, pick out the pure white. Well, how can I tell which one is pure white? If you put a little bit of a shade of next to the light white, it's actually not white. But if you take that white away, it looks like it's a pure white, but you don't realize it's not a pure white until you put it next to the real pure white. And that's what's happening right now, is that there is a little bit of some off-white going on. And we thought it's been pure white, but it hasn't been so pure. And the one that's the most pure is coming back and then bringing us his attention and saying, hey, come here, I got a different color of white for you. Another level of narrow. Matthew 7:13 says that the road into heaven, the gates of heaven, the road is actually narrow. We say that we want to save and rescue our families, our finances, our marriages, our homes, our lands, our territory. But what are you really willing to give up to see that manifest? What are you really willing to do? Are you willing to get up at 4 a.m. and pray? Are you willing to fast? Are you willing to turn the television off? What are you really willing to do to see a move of God happen in Anchorage? Are you willing to lay down your own opinions, your own agenda, to say, God, whatever it takes? We are in the hour of the Joshua movement right now. Joshua had to wait for an entire generation. The Israelite children had to wait until an entire generation died because of their disobedience. God intended for them to cross over into the promised land, but they never made it because of their disobedience. Their heart always was looking for other gods and other ways. All the time. All the time they had another way, another idea, another agenda. And God said, I can't trust you. You can never go into the promised land. So I'll wait until you die in the wilderness. So their sons could inherit the promised land because they didn't know another way. So when Moses died and Joshua, the Lord came to Joshua and he said, are you okay? Are you comfortable? Need water or anything? Okay, good. Praise the Lord for strong piano players. So Joshua, the Lord came to Joshua and he said, get up, arise. And I'm here to say to you, arise. Arise. Get up. It's time to cross over into the promised land. You have been prophesied over. You have plowed. You have begun to move. You have done all the things that you need to do in preparation to go in and inhabit the land. What are you waiting for? Arise. He gave some really strong instructions. I'm sorry, I'm such a mess. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me into Joshua? I preached this a touch in Southwest Florida the other day. And as I was standing there preaching, he said to me, this is a word for the body of Christ, but this word is actually for Anchorage, Alaska. I was in Southwest Florida. I think the farthest way you place you could get from Anchorage, Alaska, which my heart is always here. Babe, you can sit down if you want to. Or just stand there. You're cute. Isn't he so cute? He gets so mad at me. He's so cute. We've been together a really long time. I have some amazing kids, more amazing grandchildren. I wish you guys could see them all. Man, I'm telling you, if you could just skip the kids section and go right to grandkids, man, aren't they the best? It's like, my reward is arrived. And I get to spoil it and then go home and go to sleep. Yes, it's the best part. So great. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for my amazing grandchildren. My daughter is probably watching in Connecticut, and she has three. And it's a war of who's the favorite, me or him. And it's usually him, especially with the little Leilani. Anyway, whew, love those kids. Love them all. Anyway, so Joshua 1:1, and I'm going to go through this quickly because I want to, there's several people in here that the Lord has a very shift word for you. So the Lord spoke to Joshua after Moses was dead, and he said, arise. And this is verse 1. In every place on which your foot treads, this is verse 3, I have given it to you, and I will stand with you. And he said, I'll speak. I'm going to use you, and no man's going to be able to stand before you. And I'm going to show off with you just like I did with Moses. See, in Moses' day, when God saw all of their obedience, there was fire by night and cloud by day. And it says so that all the land could see that he was pleased with his children. Man, let that be our heart's cry, God, that we're so obedient, that all the land will see that you are pleased with Kingdom Alliance and everybody that's in this room. But that's what he said to Joshua. He said, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. In verse 6, he said, be strong, be courageous. For you shall give the people possession of the land, which I swore to you, Eleanor, that I would give you. Be strong and be courageous. I will not fail you or forsake you. Then after that, he sends in some spies. We all know the story, right? He sends a couple spies to go into Jericho. And where did they find themselves? It just baffles me, but I think this is so good because this is how we all are. They find themselves at a prostitute's house. Like, there's lots of houses, I'm sure, in Jericho, and they're at the prostitute's house. Man, I love that, because God can use anybody. I don't care who you are or what you did. God wants to rescue you. He will send them to your doorsteps to call you out. That's exactly what every word that's been spoken tonight is. Come out, come out. I want to rescue you and hang a red cord from the center of your home to identify. So Rahab brings them in, brings the spies in. And of course she hides them because, you know, they find out. And she says something. Now remember, this is a harlot. The whole city knows who she is. And I said to the Lord when I was thinking about this, how did the whole city know? Like, you know, was there a sign? You know, like, was it prostitution? Obviously legal. Was there a sign that said, like, you know, how did they know? And the Lord began to show me Rahab in the spirit. And how she was such a broken woman. And it reminded me of even myself in times of complete brokenness. And how when brokenness, we walk around with brokenness and shame. And everybody around you knows it. You think you're faking it, but you ain't. So God gives them this word. They find themselves in Rahab's house and they have to go back into hiding. That doesn't really sound like they're possessing the land. It sounds like they have to go back into a cave and hide. That's what the Israelites were known for. They were really great escape artists. And then go stay in the wilderness. So it doesn't look like in this moment that they're going to possess the land. They're hiding underneath someone's roof tiles. Anyway, so she says, this is Joshua chapter 2, and I think 8. She says to them, now before they lay down, she came up with them on the roof and said to the men, I know the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites and who were beyond the Jordan. When we heard it, verse 11, when we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven and above on the earth beneath. So this is where we're at right now inside of the body of the Christ. This is where you're at right now, is that there's still sometimes you got to go back into a hiding place. And it's not that the hiding place, I mean, you think about it. They know that their lives are at stake. The enemy knows where they're at, where their location is. And they go up to this prostitute's house and lay down in her roof tiles or whatever they made them of. It says, I forget. But whatever those things are, she lays down and hides them. But before she covers them with the roof tiles, she says to them, she gives them a word. The prostitute gives the spies a word. She begins to prophesy to them. In that moment, you know they're thinking, oh, here we go again. Here we go again, just like our fathers. Here we go again, just like the previous spies that came out and they said, no, we can't take the land. That's what you know they were thinking. But God sent a prostitute to them to say, but see, all of the men in this city already heard who your God was. The whole place heard what he did. The whole city, and no man in this city, no enemy has courage to stand up against you. His heart melted like wax when he heard what God did for you 40 years ago. 40 years ago, that's when the Red Sea was parted before them and they crossed over out of Egypt. 40 years ago, they heard that there was a group of people that God said, I'm going to give them the land. 40 years ago, we knew our day was coming. I put my house here on the wall of the city gate because I knew there was a people group coming to possess the land. And our hearts melted and all the courage left. See, the enemy knows what God's already done in you. Your enemy already knows who you are. He just is waiting and trying to see if you know who you are. He's just wondering, do they know they can possess the land? Do they know that the authority that they walk in can possess their own home and their finances and their marriages and their children and a city and a government and a nation? Do they know who they are? Because I know who they are. He knows who you are. So, of course, they laid down with a little bit more comfort in their heart because the prostitute gave them a word. God, sometimes you just need to send us a harlot out of the back street and said, I know your God does stuff in here and I need him to rescue me. I'm willing to hang the red cord on my wall. What would we do if she walked in here? What would our response be to her? So they make a covenant with her to save her entire family. Boy, I bet her father was like, wow, you finally paid off for the family. Normally in those days, in that tradition, a daughter stayed in the home of her father until she was legally married and then she was purchased and bought out. But she was not living in his home. He was probably shamed her. He probably said, you're an embarrassment. Get out of my house. You go do your thing in your own house. But she was the one that rescued the entire family. The brothers, the sisters, you know, all of them had something to say about her in her bad days. But she was the one that brought them and saved them. Thank you, Jesus, for Rahab. So they make a promise to her that they're going to save her. So the spies leave. They go and hide. And then they get back over to tell and report to Joshua. And then Joshua goes before the Lord and says, okay, what do you want us to do? And he tells Joshua. And see, Joshua knew how to get into the presence of the Lord for instructions. A lot of times we overthink in our own mind and we make our own plans in our own ways. The Bible says we plan our own ways. No, we, well, how's it say it? We plan our own ways and he orders our footsteps. How many times I can tell you that I'm like, I'm doing this and this and that, and that's not exactly, I don't do any of the things I thought that I was going to do. I paid for this and that, and then I never do that thing. Help me, Lord, not to do that. Anyway, so they come back, and so Joshua goes before the Lord, and I love how he waits for the instructions of the Lord. So he tells him, he said, I want you to take 12 priests out of every one of your tribes, and you're going to carry the ark. The presence is going to go before you. That is one thing that you guys have done well, is the presence is this number one priority here in among you guys. You don't come out when it's beautiful outside like it is right now if the presence of the Lord doesn't matter to you. If you'd rather be boating or fishing or whatever it is that you do, I don't know, staring at the mountains, that's what I would do if I was here. Just go out there and stare at them because they're so beautiful. I would want to just sit and bask in the beauty of the handprints of God that are all around your city. But no, you're here because the presence of the Lord matters in your life. There's not a lot of places that you can get it like this. So he says, I want you to go out and you're going to send the priest over and you're going to carry the ark. And he tells the people, you have to stay 2,000 cubits back behind the priest in the ark. Which Chad looked that up for me. That's about a half a mile, a little over half a mile back. And it says in the scripture, but you have to keep them in sight because you've never gone this way before. It's new. So it's time for us to make sure we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. We keep our eyes focused at the cross. We keep our eyes on the ark. And we just say, God, no matter, we're going to stay right here behind you. Because I've never been this way before. It's a new day. It's a new way. So the things that you did before aren't going to work. The ways you prayed before aren't going to work. The ways that you danced maybe before the Lord. Maybe the ways you don't dance before the Lord, you need to dance. Maybe it's time for you to move your body. Maybe it's time for you to get on your knees. I don't know. Whatever you did do before, it's a new day. It's a new way. It's a new land. It's a promised land. Out with the old and in with the new, God. But what the Lord said right before you're going to go, he said to Joshua, tell the people to consecrate themselves. For tomorrow, the Lord is going to do wonders among you. That's what we've been doing, is consecrating ourselves here. It's coming before him and saying, God, just you, Jesus. I'm not going as fast as I was thinking. So they go over and they cross over. What great victory, you know, that they had. The water split again. Soon as the priests put their feet in the water, the water split again. Man, what does that must be like? The water splits for you to walk on dry land. But something different this time happened than before. God tell Joshua, tell the people, go take one stone to represent every of your tribe, because I want you to be able to tell what I did for your kids and their kids and their kids, how I rescued you. Take a memory of this stone, of this ground right here on this dry land underneath the water. It's good to remember what God has done for you. It is good to just to sit for a moment and remember. When all hell breaks out in your life, just sit down and go, no, 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 no. I remember that time, Jesus. I remember that time I was dying in the hospital bed and I said, just come and get me. And he said, no, 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 daughter, wait. I remember the time that I was so far from you, confused and broken and hurting. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. I was hurting so bad. And you came in and you whispered to me and you said, oh, daughter, you're so beautiful. You're so lovely and so perfect. I remember that time. Do you remember the moment you encountered him for the first time? Do you remember when you realized that he had a plan and a purpose for your life? Or maybe you don't know, or you don't haven't encountered that yet. It's all right. You will in just a minute. Just remember. Just remember. So he said, take the stones, because this is going to be a memorial. So they cross over. You know it's exciting. They build an altar. And then now God says, I need you to circumcise everybody. Like we were consecrated over here. Now we cross the land. We're in the promised land. Our feet are in the promised land. Now I need you to cut some more things away. I need you to become more holy than you were before. And surrender yourself before the prophet, before the man of God, as he cuts away some more. Now you don't need even a prophet. You go before the ark. The veil has been torn. You go before the Lord, naked and exposed, not really, but literally, naked and exposed before him, because that's how he sees you, is he sees it all. There's no hiding behind anything. Whatever is inside of you, your heart, your motives, let him expose it to you and cut it away. Because now you're on holy ground. Now this place is holy. So they had to circumcise everybody. Man, They weren't babies. These were grown men. They were grown men. They had to be like, who knew? How old? Help them, Jesus. It hurts when we have to cut things away sometimes. It hurts when people have to exit your life sometimes. It hurts when you got to lay down your own self, your own flesh. It's all right, though. So worth it. After they were circumcised, of course, it's like if you didn't even know the Bible, but you knew how he is, what happens next? They have a holy visitation. A holy visitation. An angel of the Lord comes and walks among them. When he comes, they greet him and they're like, are you for us or are you against us? They didn't even know they were standing in the presence of a being from another planet, from another place, the God, the heaven, the mind of eternity. They were so consumed with their own circumcision. He said, no. I am a captain of the Most High God, and I'm here with a message for you. So, of course, as circumcision comes, there's a holy visitation that comes with it. Then, with that holy visitation, you get to encounter the presence of the Lord. You get to encounter the presence of heaven. And in the presence of heaven, you don't leave that atmosphere the same. You don't understand, but when you encounter God in that way and you encounter the angelic realm of that way, you are no longer the same. You cannot get up from that place and behave the same. Something shifts on you. You walk different. You act different. You love different. You behave different. You look at people differently. Then the angel of the Lord begins to speak and gives them assignment of what to do. So when we get into the promised land, we have to cut away some things. Then in that, we wait for the visitation of the Lord. As we're healing, the visitation wants to come and he wants to give you assignments, details. God is a detailed God. He likes to know if you have a problem like I do, not knowing what to put on, ask him. He'll say, you should do this or you should do that. He is such a detailed God. He just wants the invitation to be allowed to speak to you on even the little things. He cares about every detail of your life. Thank you, Jesus. So he visits them and he gives them this instruction. And one of the instructions that the Lord said to me, and this is where I have been personally, is that you're going to go and you're going to march around Jericho. We know the story. But he says to the people, don't open your mouth. Don't let one word out of your mouth. Keep it shut until he tells you to. The enemy knew that they were in the land 40 years ago. Now they're actually on their land and they're marching around their ground. And there's no courage in them. The Bible says their hearts melted. So they knew day's over. Just a matter of time. We're done. Because this is the God of the heavens and the earth. Do you understand that the enemy knew that these people belonged to God and their God was the God, even though they didn't believe in the God, but they said out of their mouth, we know that your God is the God. There was no other God in the times previous with the Israelites. They were confused on which one is God. Well, now that Moses is gone, we need to build another God. Not this time. Not with these sons and daughters. We know exactly who is God. And your enemy knows who is your God. Be strong and be courageous. So keep your mouth shut. So there's times when you are marching around the enemy's camp doing and following the instructions of the Lord, that you got to keep your mouth shut. And you don't understand and you don't know why. That word Robert gave me is so intimate to me, because there's been times that I've wanted to go, but why God? But why? I don't understand. But why? But why? No. He says, shh, 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 shh. He literally does that to me. I don't know about you, but he hushes me a lot. Shh. Do you trust me? Yeah, God, I'll march again. Okay, God, here I go again. I mean, like, that would be me, just so you know. That would be me carrying the ram's horn. Here I go. But, you know, I can't. Shut your mouth. Because you know why? He wants your posture. He doesn't want your mouth and your own negative thoughts to come and change your own body language. Because if you say it out of your mouth and you begin to operate in fear, then the enemy's going to see that your posture has shifted. And now you actually think you don't even believe in the God that they know that you have. So keep your mouth shut. Until your mouth can line up with being strong and courageous. That he is with you. And no man can stand before you. When the land belongs to you, no devil can stand before you and take it. No person that has partnered with the enemy against you and your family and your finances can take it. Be strong and be courageous when you don't understand and you don't know why, you don't know how, but he is going to come and he's going to rescue you. I don't know if it's going to be a knock with spies at your door that's going to come and negotiate a deal with you as you cover them, or if it's going to be by you just walking around the city gates going, God, here I am, trusting you. I don't know what the heck is going to happen. This leader you gave me. So we know the walls come down and they possess Jericho. They conquer Jericho. And then, this is the funniest thing, because this is what we do a lot. We possess the land. There was instructions, don't take certain things out of Jericho, burn it all. Which you got to be willing to continue to burn everything. The whole way through of possessing the land, they were constantly destroying things that they could have taken as great possessions. Nope, can't have that. Nope, don't touch that. Nope, light a match. Nope, 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 nope. And all that, I'll take that. So we live a life. If you're uncomfortable in the fire, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to be comfortable in the fire. Help me walk in the fire. Help me to live in the fire. Help me to be consumed by the fire. Not so that you can be out there setting other people on fire. Yes, that's one thing. But just so that your own self makes it to heaven. That's what happened. These people, they disobeyed God. They didn't burn the things they were supposed to burn. They stole some things, hid it. And then the next city they were going into, then the spies went and they were all killed. And Joshua, I love Joshua's heart. Joshua does the most amazing thing. He doesn't understand, because he wasn't the one that stole the stuff and hid it in his house. It was somebody in his camp, which there was over 1 million people in his camp. 1 million plus people. So he doesn't know. So what does the leader do? Now let me tell you something about your leadership here. This is what they will do. This is what I have personally seen them do. As Joshua rips off his garment and falls underneath of the Ark of the Covenant and says, God, what did you do? You brought us here. What's wrong, God? What's wrong? Oh, I love that. Heck yeah. That's maybe what he wants us to do right now, is get underneath the Ark of the Covenant. Do you know what the meaning of ripping off his garment meant? In that day, that means I'm no longer the boss here. They wore garments that identified who they were. I'm Joshua, the one that God prophesied to the entire Israelites on the other side of the land, that I would be the one to conquer and give you instructions to take the promised land, for you to set up your homes. That identity robe, he ripped it off. And he laid prostrate on earth. Is that the right word? Right before the Lord, the presence, the ark, said, what now? I thought you told me to be strong and courageous. And God says, get up! There's sin in your camp! They have defiled the living God. And God told him who it was. Go to their house. And sure enough, did you steal things from Jericho that was against the ban? Yeah, that was me. I mean, you're standing at your door. What you going to say? Yeah, okay. Well, we need to go in, search it all out. Bring out all your family. Bring them all out. Why did you do this before our God? Why did you sin before our God? We were these people back then. We were those people in the wilderness. We're not those people in the promised land. I made a decision that in the promised land, I'm going to be obedient to the living God, and I'm not going to sacrifice my family and my home with these possessions of Jericho. How dare you? So what did they do? Killed them all. Killed them all. And I say with much fear and trembling, if you are unwilling to get your house in order, if you're unwilling to surrender the things of the world, you're going to have a visitation that's going to come from the Lord. And he's going to say, hi, I'm here. Will you lay those things down? And if not, his hand is going to lift off of you. Because they're going to march on and possess the land that he promised. Not only did he promise it to this generation, but he promised it to his son that hung on a cross for you, that hung on the cross, that bled and tore his body apart, was unrecognizable. He paid a high price, and he is a king that deserves to be paid back the price, and the land belongs to him. And God promised his son that you will have the land at your hand, at your feet. So nor me nor anybody else is going to stand between that. So get your house in order. If you have things hidden under your pillows at night, if you have things hidden in your basements, past hurts, past pains, disappointments, frustration, unforgiveness, bitterness, get rid of it. If your water is tainted and you're drinking from many streams, operating in wrong spirits, if you're playing with witchcraft and then you come in here and want to prophesy, stop it! How dare you come into the house of the Lord and try to move with the Spirit and behind closed doors moving in another spirit? Mm-mm. You're about to get called out. I'll call you out. Gladly. Get rid of it. Get your house in order. Because it's the hour of visitation. There's not going to be a person that holds you back anymore from taking possession of the next city. Every place that they had to go, they had to conquer a city, conquer a city, conquer a city, and came with instructions, instructions. So then after they dealt with that, what did God tell them to do? Go back and consecrate yourself again. There was sin in your camp. So any time that we've all sinned, we all sin, we all sin. I'm a sinner. I'm the biggest sinner of them all. We all sin. But you've got to be willing to go before the Lord and say, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, correct me. Keep that mirror of the Holy Spirit in front of you that says, I don't know what to do. I'm a sinner. Correct me, correct me, correct me. You can then make the correction. Turn away from those ways that's unpleasing to him. greatest gift that God can ever give you. Wait for it. Conviction. Above all the gifts, God, don't ever lift your conviction off of me. So many times, God, help me prophesy better. I want to be this, or I want to sing better. I want to do this. No, 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 God. You know what my heart's cry is? Don't ever lift your conviction off my life. So go and consecrate yourself again. So they do. Then they tell the men of war, get up, we're going to go now. Where the other men were just killed, we're going to go and possess the land. God said we could go. And you can tell that in the camp, they must have been frightened. Because Joshua says, wait. Remember how God gave us Jericho. Remember how easy God delivered Jericho into your hands. Okay, yeah, I remember. We got our camp right now. We're going to move on and take possession of the next city. There's times in our life that you have to stop and remember. God saved me here. He saved me here. He's going to save me again. I know. God, I'm sorry. I got myself in this mess again. Consecrate yourself. Okay, I consecrate myself. Okay. I remember how once again you saved me and you're saving me again. I'm moving on and I'm going to be strong and I'm going to be courageous. And you are with me. I have found that you are faithful. You said no man will stand, no enemy will stand before me. That the land belongs, the family belongs. Devil, you've had your time long enough in your land. The enemy has played in your house too long. You thought you took possession of the land, but we're here to tell you that you are evicted. So they go in. And the Lord told me, just like with Joshua, there were some men that found out that they were coming to possess the land. And they said they were going to be crafty and come and trick Joshua. The Lord told me to beware of crafty people that come in to say, oh, yeah, look at this, look at this, look at that. And they have smooth words. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, crafty people. Because right before you step over, there's always a plan to take you off course. Joshua fell for these crafty men and he made a covenant with them. I won't take you out. I'll let you live in my land. So then when he realized what he did and he realized just 3 days later, oh no, I made this covenant with these idiots. They tricked me. They deceived me. So now I made a covenant. I'm going to let these men, evil men, stay. What's all right if it happens? Because it happens to us all. Boy, I could tell you some stories. It's all right. You know what he did? Made him a slave to the covenant of the ark. Their job for the rest of their lives was to continue to build. Then in closing, after that, in Joshua 10, I could preach for 4 more hours of how God delivered them, every single one of them. The land belongs to them. It belongs to you. Your family belongs to you. Your peace of mind belongs to you. Your children and your grandchildren belong to the Lord. Your finances belong to you so that you can fund the kingdom of God. Alaska belongs to its people and to Jesus. Possession has already been taken. There's already been cities that are under a stronger influence of the Holy Spirit where witchcraft's hands have to lift. But it is coming. It's us that's got to continue to consecrate ourselves, lay underneath the ark and say, I don't need, God, what do we do now? We're going to be strong and we're going to be courageous. And we're going to take the land. God, at one point in Joshua 10, he got so angry at the enemy, he stood up from heaven and threw stones and killed them himself. Read it. Chapter 10, verse 11. God stood up, picked up a stone, threw it on their heads and killed them himself. He got so angry at the enemy. It says that he was burned up. And I am telling you right now that God is done with your enemy. He is done with your enemy. He's done with my enemy. He is done with every witchcraft spirit. He is all done. He is standing at attention saying, come on, son, I've got the stones. Are you ready for war? Because, and Joshua was right with them. They had their stones and their swords out and they were marching in the land. After they stepped into the city, after they were there to conquer the city, God picked up a stone and started throwing from heaven. Literally, that was a cough drop, not a stone. I should have some. You know what's so amazing to me in that story? It was a stone. A stone. And I said, God, why a stone? Do you have stones in heaven? Do you keep stones like by the throne to throw? Like, what do you mean a stone? And he said, daughter, I wanted them to have a stone to remember the time that I got up and destroyed their enemy. He left them a stone, a remembrance of the time that God stood up and destroyed the enemy. Every time they were going to place into a city, the land, it says that they found out that they were coming and their hearts melted. And at one point in one city, it says the spirit left the men, left all of them. So every demonic spirit that was working left before they even arrived on that particular city. Lastly, this is my favorite above all. Because some of you are here right now, this place right here. So in the northern part of the land, they had already conquered about 10 cities. The kings thought they were going to get wise and get together and join forces to destroy Israel. They're like, wow, these cities have had 30,000, 50,000, they're a million. Now they weren't fighting with a million, they were fighting with 5 or 30 sometimes. But these kings are like, oh, let's all gather. Now, these guys were all enemies before. So what did these enemies do? These enemies that were enemies with each other come together to work together against the children of God. They joined forces. It says every man and every woman came out of their cities and joined forces to come against the children of Israel. How many of you feel like every enemy is standing a guard all the way around you, got you surrounded, and they've ganged up on you? They've all ganged up on you. I love it, because let them gang up. Let them. God literally just threw stones the city before. Like, what is he going to do now? Be bold, be strong, and courageous. No man will stand before you. You will possess the land. So then, it says in the scriptures, it says that all of them came. It was bigger than the Israelite army. Bigger. They were surrounded on all sides. And it says that God hardened their hearts to get them all there. God gathered them. The enemy thought they were doing the right thing by gathering them. Do you know whose idea it was? God's. God's idea. Let them gather. Anytime your enemy is surrounded, you stand and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. It's about to be over.
is about to be over. This is the last hooray. They've all gathered now. And then all of a sudden, they were all slain. They were all taken out. They were all taken out. And they came in and possessed those cities. There was like 15 or 20 cities. I was reading and reading. I'm like, how many cities? They took them all. And you know what happened after that? Joshua began to give out the land to the people of God. That's when the land shifted right then. That is when the land ownership changed. They had to conquer all those cities, all those kings, all those demonic spirits, and get them out of their land. And it wasn't until that final did it end. And then the city papers were turned over. It says that as Moses, he had written out who was to get this land, who was to get that land, and this land, and that land. For a moment, I didn't understand. Moses had never even been in the land. How did he know the cities? It's not like they had Google or Google Maps. How did he know who's this tribe gets this and this tribe gets that? It says from the instructions of Moses. I said, God, I don't understand how Moses died on the other side. He's never been in this land. How did he know? God said, I took him there. I took him there. You have to remember, Moses was a friend of God's. I took him there and prophesied over the land before I ever gave it to them. There's been generations and generations that's come into this land, like Mary Glazer, that's been prophesying over the land before some of you were even born. Before you ever even stepped foot in your land, she's been prophesying, 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 going into regions you didn't even know she went into. The Lord took me and showed me Mary in her house praying and declaring with a map, declaring over every region. And no one knew who she was. She was just nothing but a young girl. She had no idea that God was walking those floors with her, declaring the land belongs to you. She has paved the way with others and even before her. Now you have a Joshua. A Joshua. That's here. That's giving you instructions. Every month, this is what you do. And it is not just so that you can possess Alaska. It is for it to possess Alaska. But it is to possess Canada. Possess Russia. We're so close to Russia. My amazing daughter's about to marry a guy from Ukraine. Of course, it is going to have to find Jesus. The land, right? Russia. Yeah, okay, good. I said something different. He's from Russia. He's so cute. Not as cute as Chad, but he's super cute. It's really good to be in love with somebody and be married and stay in love the whole time. Like, the reward of that is unspeakable. It's a gift. Wait for the right one. Wait, 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 wait. Don't rush. Wait. Don't mess up. Because it's miserable when it's not. So where are you? Where are you at right now? Where are you? Are you on the other side of the water needing to be consecrated? Are you the one that says, hey, get yourself consecrated because God's going to do an amazing thing tomorrow with you? Tomorrow. Not next month. Tomorrow he wants you to move into the land. Tomorrow. Not another day. Right now. What are you willing to do?
Or are you in the land and you're now in the cutting time? And the Lord is saying, cut this. And you know what? A lot of times, it could be like a TV show. It's not always evil. It's not always evil. It could be like chicken. Don't eat any more chicken. Actually, it would be salmon for me in Alaska. Like if the Lord said, don't, I said to the Lord, because he's had me fast a lot. I'm like, God, I don't want to fast in Alaska. Please, can I fast? I will fast double when I get home and double before I go. But I want to just eat some of Eleanor's jam, and I need to have some Alaska, you know, a salmon. He's so good to me. He's like, okay, good. But where are you? Where are you at right now? Are you in the cutting time? Are you in the visitation? Are you in the time of instructions of what you need to be doing for your household and your family? To go in this way, go that way. Expand and broad your territory. Do this, do that. Where are you? I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. I know this was long, but it had to be spoken out because God wants you to be aware. He would not want you to be ignorant. He would not want you to be wandering around in a wilderness season for longer than you should be. He wants you to unite and gather and move and possess the land. And it's not just possessing this land, it's possessing your home, your finances, your marriage, your children, your grandchildren. Take back what belongs to the Lord. He paid a high price for it. So where are you? Just close your eyes. Don't look at me. I'm not the one that can tell you where you're at. The Holy Spirit is nudging on you, saying here, right here. Do this, do that. Yes, Jesus. If you've been running away from Him, if you've been in a season that you have been running the opposite direction and towards the world, and you don't know Him, and you're like, how could He talk to me? Because I don't really even know Him. Everybody close your eyes. If I see you looking at me, I'm going to go over and touch you in your eyeball. If it's you that's been running away from the Lord, and you say, I don't know Him. I don't know this person you talk about that's going to come to me. And He's going to ask me or tell me what to do. I don't know Him. I don't have that relationship with this man that you talk about, Jesus. If that's you, why don't you just raise your hand? Nobody's looking, I promise. All right. It's all right. It's good. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But what I want to say to you is right now, put your hands down. Thank you. Right now, I want you to turn your heart to the Lord and be like Rahab. In the midst of her home, she had the knock at her door. The spy is here. This is the one that I heard about. This is the real God. And I want you to say, God, forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Right now, just you and Jesus. Wash me. Cleanse me. I turn to you, Jesus. I come back to you, Lord. I run to you, Jesus. The only one that can rescue me. I run to you, Father. We say, yes, Jesus. Yes to your will. Yes to your plan. No matter where you find yourself, is your yes, yes? Or is your yes, maybe tomorrow or the next day I'll make some changes, God, or I'll do something different, or I'll follow the instructions, God. Or no, I like my silver hidden underneath my bed. Where are you in your decision making? Is it yes when he comes to you and he comes to your home and he comes to your mind and your emotions, your car, your businesses? Is it yes, Lord? I give it all to you. I surrender it all to you. My own opinion, my own agenda, all my brokenness, God, all of my hurt and disappointment and aggravation and everything that I thought was something that's not anything. I give it all to you, God. I surrender it all. Do you have a yes on the inside of you that says, I find you faithful, God, and I don't understand, but I trust you? Yes, Jesus. Right now, this is not something between a woman, a prophet, or an evangelist, or a minister, or a servant. It's not between me and you. It's between you and God. What are you willing to do to rescue a generation? Or rescue just yourself? Sometimes I've dealt with people that they're like, I can't even rescue my own self. How am I going to rescue anything else? Chad and them are about to sing in just a minute. And if you have things in your heart, things in your life, things that you need to surrender to the Lord, just like when they brought the people out and they said, do you have the things from Jericho that the Lord told us not to touch in your home, in your possession? Have you turned your heart so hard away from the Lord that he comes and he convicts, but you ignore? I have been there. If that's you, no one's looking. I want you to raise your hand. I'm not even looking, but God is looking. God, I've come and you've come and you visited me, and I had things hidden in my life. Just raise your hand and be honest with him. Okay, whoever that was, that raise your hands. Okay, put your hands down. Because God wants you to be real with yourself. He wants you to be real with yourself. Stop faking it. Stop pretending you have it all together when you don't. It's okay. I'd rather you be like Rahab and says, I'm a harlot. I'm going to hang a red cord in my home. Can you rescue me, honey? Or there's a few in the room that says, okay, God, I'm here. Now I need the instructions. The enemy has surrounded on all sides. And I have a word for you. Rejoice. Step back and watch God deliver the enemy in your hands.